Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
My album is on iTunes.
Oh my God.
It's entitled Awake. Today's the big day. Please, if you're going to buy the album, get it now.
Do not wait. Now is the day. Today is the day. It super duper counts.
Go to keithandthegirl.com/album. It'll lead you right there. Okay. So you don't have to be like, do I have to take off work? You know, do I need to call my IT little brother? No, you can do it yourself. /album. All right. Today's guest. Well, my goodness, it's Andrea Allen.
What's up?
What's going on, Andrea? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Really? You just found out my dog's probably dying. You're doing fine.
Listen,
animal lover.
Best case scenario. Listen, your dog's going to be fine. And I'm the one who directed you to the correct vet. So I'm going to be the hero of this situation. Mm. So I'm doing great.
Pizza Andrea, party for everybody.
Hero Allen.
Keith, if your dog survives this, I think pizza party.
Sure.
Lawrence left here yesterday. You know, we recorded the shows on the same day, though. But on his way out, and he said, Keith, everything's going to work out. I'm like, I'm going to call you if it doesn't. But okay, everything's going to work out. That's fantastic. So this is a Sunday. We recorded two shows, this one being the second. So I don't really have
an update.
But I do know, you know, I am able to reach my wife, and she is so obviously distraught.
Now, for those who didn't listen to yesterday's show, Keith's dog took a bunch of Adderalls because
you didn't take him, like you didn't pick him up and get a glass
sure?
of water. I wasn't there.
It's a dog. A dog doesn't know how to read labels. So anyway, it looks like he went out of control with what turns out to be about 20 pills is what the guess is.
Oh my
now,
God.
This isn't to alarm you. She already said, oh my God. So I guess we can go with it. That's a lot.
Oh my God, that's great. So focused.
Getting so much work done. But it is a puppy. And so, you know, spinning in circles. They're in a cage right now. You know, they're going to be watched for like a day or two. And the dog's just like spazzing out a little bit in the cage. As opposed to normally a cage calms the dogs down.
Can I tell you, I was thinking that, you know, Adderall speeds you up and you do want to like, you know, get up and go. Mm-hmm. And this dog is spinning around and running around. They don't want to let it like just run around for a while to let it out, like come out of its pores or something.
We need
to sweat it out.
Yeah, this is
put a little sweatsuit on it and they take it on the tracks.
We're very scientific here.
Uh-huh. So. Put little mops on its feet and have it clean the floors.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah. You're not thinking it? No. By that face? No. Okay. No.
So my wife, you know, sees the dog after spinning about, looks in the dog's eyes and realizes the dog's not looking back. In fact, dogs are, if not the only animals that can actually make eye contact, and the eye contact isn't being made.
I mean, 20 pills is a thing.
So, you know, the dog's on sedatives now. The emergency vet will be watching the dog for about 36 hours. Toxicology master is watching the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We do have insurance for what that's worth. And for what it's worth, well, so far it's worth $2,000 for the first day.
Yeah.
And they said, if the dog's heart stops, do you want us to perform CPR?
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine said, no. What do you mean? Yes.
It's a standard thing. They said that I took my cat to this vet as well. Actually, shout out to your listener, Gordon Nelson, who paid for my cat's surgery with this particular vet. But they do, every time they have an animal in there that's in like a dangerous place, they ask you. So it's not, it's just like.
Is it a religious thing?
No, it's because you're this animal's caretaker, I guess. And some people, if the animal's in a bad way and it dies, then...
I don't want that person's lips on my dog, you're saying.
Sure. Well, no. I mean, some people think like if the animal passes, then I don't want you to put it through that if you don't
Keith,
think...
if God wants a puppy, God wants a puppy.
Right.
Who knows how these dogs come back? Flatliners, you ever see that? They come back, they bring back evil things. So yeah, I don't know if I want it resuscitated necessarily.
Yeah, I assume Pet Cemetery wasn't a fun flick.
There's a bell around my dog right now in case there's a seizure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because of the type of medication?
Because of whatever's going on. What if the dog has a seizure from too many of these pills?
So if you hear like, that's not good.
Chemda.
Chemda's so oddly humorous.
I know,
in that somebody will say something about the dog. And by that, I mean me. And then it comes up with, Keith!
Yeah, I know.
And then, but then that opens it up. It's like taboo. Once your partner says the word, you're allowed to say the word. If we're joking about this, I'm in.
And then we make a your dog's gonna die joke in the middle of the show.
But he was doing it. No. Is it not right?
No, it's not right. Because Hinda's not explaining it properly, is she, Andrea? I would say something.
Like your dog's not gonna be alive.
And it, wow, amazing. And
never learned.
Never learned. I just said this. So anyway, then Kendall will say something about, you know, your stupid dog. And then somebody else, then I'll say something. And she'll be like, Keith. And I'll be like, well, I don't know what's going on there, Hinda. And then Hinda,
I think she said it's a silver lining that you can stay in your current apartment if you have one dog.
This was after a death joke already told by Keith.
No, this was after you going,
right, because it's shocking. And then we go from there.
Watch Hinda. No.
I thought you set the level.
Hinda's still misrepresenting. Very much so. There, it's not the love. You will, the show just started, so obviously, you audience member, you will hear what happens. Hinda will be shocked and disgusted by something that Andrea or I say about trying to make peace with what's going on with my dog. You'll see. You'll see. Stay tuned, folks.
Wait, so because I'm shocked, I can't say the shocking jokes? Is that? I want to get this right.
Yeah, I think you got it right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's.
Oh, yeah. It could still shock me, and then I say that because I thought in the last episode.
Then you're just evil.
I didn't know that's what makes me evil. We joked around my death, around my tumor all the time.
You're not a dog, Hinda. Yeah. Oh, they're very different.
That's true, but I am a bitch.
They have the warm little hearts, and they're so cute.
I think I explained. They're dogs, innocent. Only dogs can make eye contact. What do I care about
your... Sorry to look in your eye.
You're not a dog. You're a dog pig.
Right.
An homage.
Thank you.
To my great joke.
Well, anyway, that's the story with my dog. Thank you, Hinda.
Wow.
I think it's going to be okay.
I think so too.
Yeah. It's a very good medical facility. I think they probably have to prepare you for the worst possible thing. And that's why they say that. And I think it's going to be fine.
It just looks like, you know, Darth Vader. There's all these wires coming out of the dog. Yeah. A it's bell crazy around looking. His neck. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see the picture.
Well, I mean, it's not a balloon.
Because he knew that you would mock it.
Wait, so there are, what's happening with the.
Well, there's some kind of, you know,
EKG sort of thing,
some kind of IV in the dog right now. The bell, like I said, there's some kind of contraption around the dog that's connected to the cage. So I looks like, so the dog can't bust his head into the cage.
Oh, because they're going,
because he's spazzing out. So, all right.
Sunday fun day.
It's Sunday fun day of all days.
The Lord's day.
That this would happen. But that's got to be a kicker. This guy gets $5,000 and then your dog dies anyway. Your cat.
My cat. I did email him, because when the cat got the treatment, I emailed him like pictures and an update about the surgery. And then when the tumor came back, they'd already removed half the cat's liver. It was a crazy surgery. So they couldn't remove any more. Mm. So I didn't have a choice, but it did feel so terrible. To be like, I mean, he was so sweet. We've emailed since, and he's not holding it against me, but I do. Right. It's like, wow, that's so much money. It's such a generous thing. And then, like, I don't know.
What are the other options?
Yeah.
I
don't know. I stuff the cat and carry it around with me in his honor. There's not much else I can do, but. Well, it's weird.
$2,000 the first day. I could have dinged the car with a bike.
I know. My cat surgery, the total bill, and I didn't have pet insurance, he gave me $5,000 for surgery, and the today in this emergency vet was also $5,000. And it was Canadian dollars because my mom paid for it. So it ended up, this cat's medical costs were probably closer to like 10 to 15 grand.
That's so much.
And for a cat.
How dare.
You know, they don't make eye contact.
That's because they're better. They don't need to.
All right. Look, everybody's having it tough. I don't mean to make it all about me and my sweet angel, Casey Jones. I was hearing Katy Perry. She did a Facebook Live thing to celebrate her new album called Witness. And she had the camera on from June 8th to June 12th. Mm-hmm. So this means you watch her sleep. You watch, you know, her handlers literally feed her because she's a princess. And these people aren't embarrassed at all. You know what it reminded me of? I never saw this. I know I'm attacking the queen. But Beyonce had some kind of special, right? And Beyonce's in full makeup acting like she's asleep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I saw Beyonce's thing and it was obviously very produced by her. It was obviously like very, not edited by her, but it was monitored by her because the entire documentary, which, I mean, it's Beyonce. You must be curious about her mm-hmm. rise to the top, whether you're into her music or not, which I wasn't. So I watched it thinking like, okay, what did she have to overcome and blah, blah, blah. It was fake. She talked about losing her child, which like, you know, people weren't convinced that she was pregnant to begin with. She was trying to get tears the whole time that mm-hmm. she was talking to them and they kept cutting to something else. And I'm thinking like she's pinching herself while they cut to something, right. You know, it just was so fake and so like, look at the life I lead. These are the hardships. And I'm like, you didn't show any hardships.
They think they're so down to earth.
Yeah. They showed like what they think is down to earth, which was really interesting. You know, it was like a moment of like a regular restaurant. Like, do you understand that the fact that you get to eat in a restaurant, even though it's a quote regular restaurant, and the fact that you're just being normal people is not...
I think they might not even know. You know, I think they're so out of touch with reality at this point that they really do think this is deep.
But I also
think everyone's saying yes to them too.
I also think it's smart because you know what? Like that's the video that she wanted to make and it still did what it needed to do. She doesn't want shitty information out about her and she could do that. It's amazing.
Beyonce has a special room. It's called the Destiny Child Room. Mm-hmm. And two women stand there all day long, literally for any time Beyonce wants to come in and dance. And she says, it keeps me grounded. Mm-hmm. I remember where I came from. And then the lemonade room is just lemonade.
It's a lot of real estate.
Yeah. Well, she's down to earth because she's humbled, but knows where she's going next.
And where she comes from.
Well, that's what Katy Perry is saying. You know, I want people to watch this video because they will see I'm a regular person like them. Then they can become a great person like I am.
Did she really say that?
Yeah. They can be as big as I am. They can see, they'll see I'm just like them, but then they'll see they can be just like me.
Well, meanwhile, she has like celebrities coming through to visit her. Every single event is very posed. Like, oh, now Caitlyn Jenner is coming for dinner and we're talking with Margaret Cho. Like, this isn't your real life, clearly.
Right. I'm just like you. We do.
When you have play dates, your people call Margaret Cho's people.
Sure.
Yeah. And then they mic her before she comes into my house.
I cook with Gordon Ramsay. Then an hour later, it's astrophysics talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson, which, by the way, he has to be... What kind of conversation is Neil deGrasse Tyson? Or just admit science is stupid. What conversation is he having with Katy Perry about the universe? Must be fascinating.
It's worth the exposure, I feel. He must feel that
way. I mean, take a paycheck and do it. But, I mean, you had to go home to your wife and be like, today was work. No, you got to talk about your stupid black holes. You love that. I thought I did. You want to talk about a black hole? Check out this Katy Perry. That's a black hole. So she has a therapy, public therapy.
Oh, yeah. Well, she really spills it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, does she have trouble with her parents? Let me guess.
Well, she gets down to it.
There's a difference between Katherine Perry and Katy Perry. Mm-hmm. See, it's kind of like...
One cashes a check.
It's like Hannah Montana. You know, they're different people.
I'm really strong as Katy Perry.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm not as strong as Katherine Hudson and like...
And Katherine doesn't have to be strong.
But, you know, people like talk about my hair, right?
Yes.
No.
Oh my God. No, yes. Keith. They talk about her hair. That is so sad.
Yes. Like, I get, you know what? If I was this therapist, let's say he's a good therapist. Do it. Take the money. Go home. Laugh about it with your family. But what do you say? Yes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't... they talk about my hair, right? I guess they do.
He seems like he's trying to keep it together in the video.
It sounds like he's ready to burst out laughing.
Yeah, he looks like he's pulling... He's like, you know, pinching his own skin. Just be like, get through this. What?
And my hair changes lengths?
Yes.
Really strong as Katy Perry.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm not as strong as Katherine Hudson and like...
And Katherine doesn't have to be strong.
But...
she kind of does.
She's like, what? I was ready to say something and cry about it. What do you mean?
You know, people like talk about my hair, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And they don't like it. Or they wish that like it was... longer.
Uh-huh. Can you imagine? This is your biggest fucking problem. First of all, I'm going to guess Katie has 7,000 wigs. What the fuck are you talking about? Can you imagine having a life where what's bumming you out is that people are talking about your hair? And then the therapist has to act like this makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Instead of just going, what? Like one of those yes should be, huh? He's like, yeah, yeah. They talk about your hair. We all go through that.
You know, people like talk about my hair, right?
Yes.
The yes is bad.
And they don't like it. Or they wish that like it was longer.
Uh-huh. I know. I'm trying to masturbate the teenage dream, but your hair is just throwing me.
And like, I so badly want to be Katherine Hudson that I don't even want to look like Katy Perry anymore sometimes.
Okay,
you fucking whack nut. Okay, very good.
Want to look like Katy Perry anymore sometimes.
Okay,
but you are going to look alike, right?
That's a costume. Yeah. There's a kiss going into therapy going, you know, sometimes they don't want to wear the clown makeup. Okay, do you know that you have a choice? that's a thing. And also you're going to work. I remember being like an actual literal clown. I was a kids party entertainer and coming home and going, I still have clown makeup on. And sometimes I don't want to put on the clown makeup.
Yes. Like, because Katie, I love pinwheels on my tits, but Katherine finds it juvenile. Well,
Kate, don't mock. The thing is Giggles has a good time, okay? Giggles, she comes into the party, Giggles the clown, she has a great time, but Chemda can't be that strong.
Yes.
Yeah.
To look like Katy Perry anymore sometimes.
Okay.
And like, that is a little bit of why I cut my hair, is because I really want to be my authentic self.
Yes.
Like, 100%. And so it hurts, you know, when I don't feel like I can.
Now I'm okay if somebody kills her. That's where I am right now. Now I'm okay with that because she has lived such a good life. Like, for years I was like, you know what? I'm going to get cancer because, you know, I've had a pretty good life. Got myself a tumor. I was like, fair.
Yes.
This is my thing that I go through. Everyone has a thing. She just needs to die. She had so many good times that she's ready to die. Liz Quiz is writing in. It sounds like she's being interviewed by Cheshire Cat.
Yeah. You, my precious.
James Corden went into the house at some time, but she was tired. So he was just walking around the house not knowing what to do, apparently. But then they finally meet. And James Corden asks her to list her famous lovers in bed from worst to best.
Wait, who does what?
James Corden.
Now that's a good question off the top of his head.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Since there are, you know, no cameras here and it's just you and me.
Girl talk.
Right. John Mayer was the big one next to Orlando Bloom.
Like, of the worst?
But the best. Are you kidding me?
I am. Ugh. You must be kidding me because, ugh.
They're all amazing lovers, she says.
I want to run to your maze at the high school. I want to scream.
But did he sing Bodies of Wonderland? Because I'm done.
Katie is a Wonderland.
It's a great love-making song.
He's grabbing your hips from behind. Your body is a Wonderland. Just fuck me, weirdo. They're all amazing lovers, and I would have sex with all of them when I get out of this place. She's so goofy. I don't know if she's making a joke.
I think she thinks she's saying something really deep and no one has the balls to tell her that it's stupid because she has everyone around. She has yes men surrounding her everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they're actually yes dolphins. They have to dress in an outfit.
I mean, this was on YouTube, I think, and she got the most views ever.
Right.
With it. So it's like, I don't know. Is she stupid or are we all stupid?
Right?
Yep.
I don't know. There is hate watching, isn't there? Like, okay, it worked out, but now you're respected less. Doesn't matter.
There is. And I know that some people are hate listening to this. And I'm like, I don't know. Thanks for the download. Like, what negative thing do we get from people hate watching us? Like, or hate listening to us? I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah,
people say we suck on Twitter, I guess, sometimes.
But you can tell Katie cares.
I'm okay.
She cares that people don't like her hair. Well, she's not. She, of course, she's somebody who cares.
Well, then she's just going to be sad all the time. Like, someone's not going to like your hair. That's just stupid.
Well,
that's,
I think,
dumb.
She's trying to appear vulnerable to, like, somehow, I don't know.
And she can't come up with anything. Thing.
Yeah, this is the best possible. I don't know. It's very childish.
I have a hard time like you have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you guys can't figure your hair just right. Bad hair days. I didn't invent it. Anyways.
Oh, Keith, it's okay.
Anyways.
You'll find a good barber.
I just have to be so strong.
I know your dog's in trouble right now, but think about Katie's hair. Come on.
It's like she never knows the right length to get. Like she can cut it, and then it's a different length. But then what if she doesn't like that length forever?
What happens during that year where I have to wait until it grows in? Oh, my God. I just thought of that. Now I can't.
They say I have a whole team behind me, but I don't know. What are they going
to
do?
Oh, my God. Cancel the tour, Katie. You really need to get over something. It's a hard life.
I don't like all the attention. I live in a fishbowl. Anyway, it's day 3 of Facebook Live, and thanks for watching.
I hope you like my hair.
Jerry Seinfeld was on some form of a red carpet. It was for the Kennedy Center, and somehow Kesha was invited, the pop star. And Kesha is entitled, of course, and says, hey, Jerry Seinfeld, I know you. I love you. Let me hug you. And Jerry doesn't know who Kesha is. Not that it should matter, quite frankly. And he says, no thanks. No thanks to a hug. She tries 3 times.
It's hard to just sleep when you're tired because people are tired most of the time.
Kesha, I love you so much.
Oh, thanks.
He's being interviewed.
No, thanks.
Please?
No, thanks.
A little one.
Yeah, no, thanks.
And he keeps backing off, his hand almost like she's going to attack. I'm like, no, thanks. No, thank you. Now, I know that whether I knew who Kesha was or not, and even if she looks like a walking VD, I would give her you're on the red carpet. I'd give her a hug. But then, you know, later I'd probably be like, man, what if we didn't have to hug people? And Jerry Seinfeld's like, oh, I don't have to do anything. No.
I'm on his side.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm on his side. We talk about it all the time here. You know, people ask for hugs and people are not comfortable and they don't feel okay to say no. Here's a person who is pretentious. I get it. Like, you know, he's like, oh, I don't know her, whatever. But you don't have to know Kesha and you don't have to give Kesha a hug and you don't have to give anybody a hug. Especially if he didn't know her, it really could be anybody.
Yeah, and then and why is going she for it so
a,
much.
A little one. Hey, Keith, can I fuck you? No, a little bit? How right. about now? I mean, come on. I get that it's not your penis, but he doesn't want to be touched. And she interrupted his interview on camera. You could see a camera person. You could see he's talking to a mic. You're on the red carpet. She's so
self-involved.
Yeah, so used to people going, oh my God, a hug from Kesha.
Right.
I get that, but like, understand that you get to have someone say no to you. It's fine.
Then she started brushing her teeth with bourbon.
It's hard to just sleep when you're tired because people are tired most of the time.
I love you so much.
Oh, thanks.
Can I give you a hug?
No, thanks.
Please?
No, thanks.
A little one.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Oh!
I don't know who that was.
Yeah, it was Kesha.
Okay. Well, I wish her the best.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I hope she has a great life. I hope she finds someone to hug her. What can I tell you?
He looks scared when she's advancing towards him, too. I would be, too.
Yeah.
But she's probably like, this asshole. First of all, I'm doing him the favor. I was going to hug him. I know he's in an interview. He was going to get to say, look, I was hugging. Kesha came up to me. But instead, I'm humiliated. Let me try again. Fuck, now I'm super humiliated. One more time. God damn it.
Yeah, it also would be like another thing if he was the kind of person who always asked people for hugs and now she's interrupting him. Like, that would be a point. But there's no point there.
Yeah.
He was being who he is and she just decided to interrupt. So you don't get the answer you want.
I would not assume Jerry Seinfeld would be a hugger, too. If you like him so much, you know his persona. Right? And he absolutely is not, like, bear hugging people.
That's a good point.
He just drives around in his nice cars and tells everyone to fuck off.
That's true.
Right, which is great.
Right, yeah, he's in that movie, Comedian, the documentary. Somebody says hi to him, shakes his hand. A fan of his. This is at the Comedy Cellar. And then they talk for a couple seconds. And then the guy goes, well, anyway, Jerry, thanks. It was nice meeting you. Goes to put his hand out again. And Jerry just stares like, what are you doing? We just shook hands. Mm-hmm. How many times am I going to shake this motherfucker's hand?
What's the deal?
So you don't think this guy's a warm person, period. So to go for the hug is your fault.
Yeah, that I thought was...
Why do we have to keep saying hi when we pass people in the hallway? Why don't we say, acknowledge, I acknowledge you. I don't know. I got to go about my day, Jerry. And I think it'd be polite to say hi. What am I gonna do? Tap dicks.
I agree with you on that one. Like I don't remember that part, but it sounds like he was being cold for no reason. Like you can shake someone's hand again really quick and be like, okay, that was extra, but we know because you're still in social things, but you don't have to hug anybody. I don't know, or he could have been like, okay, we just you know.
Right.
Yeah, I bet you people are really weird to him too. He's been so famous for so long. He's so well respected by the comedy community that I'm sure he gets fanatical kind of stuff.
Yes, but he's also Seinfeld, so he's not getting like the super fanatical stuff.
That's true.
He's like a rated G.
He's a
comic.
Household name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but he's not getting like bras thrown at him. He's not that kind of celebrity. So him being like over the top pretentious about where he is, people are not harassing him in the same
How's it going, Jerry, you asshole?
There's
no panties being thrown. You're right.
Yeah, he's being recognized, which he is, and I think, like, you know, you do have to deal with it with a little bit of charisma. A little bit, like, because you are getting millions of dollars because of your recognition. Mm-hmm. So if you want that to go away, that's what you can focus on. But you don't get to have it that far into both ways.
Yeah. Well, he's also been famous for so long that maybe this is now how maybe he's decided this is what he's going
to
do.
Maybe. And you know what? Then more power to it. Like, be you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you be you all day long.
Be you, Jerry.
Good for you, Jerry. And you know what? Every once in a while, I think, why am I criticizing him? He's going, I don't want to shake your hand.
Yeah.
You know? Good for him.
Why do I have to call my mother once a year? I love you every day. Should I call you every day? Why don't I call? I guess I don't love you this minute.
These jokes literally write themselves. You just have to say with what's the deal and follow it up with anything.
What's the deal with Kesha?
Yeah, what's the deal with iPhones?
Do you want to talk to your dad? I go, no. It's Mother's Day, not Father's Day.
Somebody posted about Father's Day, like, hey, for those who are posting, you know, your mom, like, to their mothers because mothers, whatchamacallit?
Mothers rule the world. That's a separate room she has.
Mothers who raise their, single mothers are like fathers also. And somebody was like, you know what? A father is a father. And just because you're a single mother, that doesn't mean anything. So for anyone who's writing this, and I'm like, really? This is your big Facebook, like, don't tell moms that they're fathers too. A person raised someone or several people by themselves. You can have all of the stupid days. President's Day is now your day. My brother just had a baby. Marcella and Michael just had a baby. Her parents are around. We're around. I haven't been so around this past week because my parents are, but they have help and they're still exhausted. This single parent doesn't get fathers. Shut the fuck up. Thanks for standing on a platform.
She doesn't identify as a father, Henda.
Right, that's
and
true. That's
you know
true.
What? We can't miss father, single mother.
What's so ridiculous?
Fucking assholes. Get a life.
Right?
Please. God.
You had something to say. You hit enter and you're just watching. Come on. Somebody hit a like. Somebody hit a like. It reminds me about how I get silly every year when it'll be Memorial Day and somebody, you know, a listener will say to me, hey, Keith, happy Memorial Day. I'm like, you motherfucker, that's Veterans Day.
Right.
I'm not dead. Never mind, wasn't from World War II. That's not the day. That's what these assholes are like in real life. Like,
but they're being serious.
Yeah, but they're being serious.
Yeah. You're having a good old time.
Man, people do forget. You write it on social media and it goes somewhere. Like the word social is in it. Why is it a surprise?
You know, the comedian that I called out for being a creep who made that 200 comedians list when I was talking about it on What's Up A?
What's Up A, now available on keithandthegirl.com/VIP. Let me tell you how much I talk about this show. Yesterday we were with Anne going to Trader Joe's and I was like, Anne, if you haven't heard up What's Up A, and she goes, oh my God, you never recommend things on your own network. I'm like, I really don't because I can't, because I'm like, oh, listen to my shit. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, no, you have to.
Yes, smoothest plug ever. You're in my corner, Hemda.
And then she parked the car and just waited until she heard the whole show.
Said, you can't leave Trader Joe's. You stay in the snack aisle and you listen to this.
They were towing the car away. They're still in the car playing the last 5 minutes.
Well, the comedian that I called out on that episode was talking to someone. He's been like kicking up a shit fit everywhere, telling people I'm a bitch, whatever, which is fine. But one of his main
points...
He's the one
that's sexually inappropriate to you.
And multiple other comedians. Right. He's banned from mics now. Like, I was a person to say something, but it was already being very much public.
And by the way, to be clear, when you're banned from an open mic,
you must be
a real piece of shit.
Yeah. You're the worst of the worst.
Yeah. Because open mics are full of like...
Homeless.
Misogynists. Yeah, I know, right?
Honest to God, homeless.
Yeah. There used to be a homeless guy that would yell about Trump all the time. I liked seeing this guy more than the other guy, the sexual harasser. But his one comment to someone, and he made it a point. He's like, and she only got 6 likes on that status. It's like, what? Also 70, but get the fuck out. But like,
I'm, and by the way, just because you didn't hit like, sir, you obviously saw it, so we can count that as 7.
That's yeah. I got you,
sir.
And by the way, hearts and smiley faces, they count as likes.
I think the rainbow counts too.
The rainbow's double, technically. Okay.
I have only been hitting the rainbow response to everything that I want to hit anything on. And it's like having nothing to do with pride. I'm just like, I respond rainbow to this.
Well, he's sending me a black rainbow.
It's just odd I'm talking about. I think my dog's dying and kind of sending me rainbows.
You like rainbows.
Right.
I'll spot you red.
So this guy's not talking to you anymore?
No.
You should ask him out.
Well, actually, what he said to someone else, there's been multiple people who have spoken to him. Mike Brown came in and told me that he held an open conversation with him at a mic. I'm like, why are you wasting your stage time with this? This is so dumb. But okay. But another comedian said that he's saying that...
I didn't know that was a term, by the way. Guys, for my next 3 minutes, I'm going to turn it into an open discussion.
You know, you're putting things in women's bags. He asked me out. I said no, but was giving him sexy eyes. Mm. And now I'm bitter because we never got together. And that's why I posted this whole thing. Mm. I started.
What is this story? Did a story like this ever happen in life?
Yes.
That somebody said no, but gave sexy eyes and then was highly disappointed, then spoke badly about you, mm-hmm. then continued to do so.
And he admitted to putting a glove in my bag. But it was just for fun because he's a punk and he's cool and edgy. And he put porn in other women's bags, but they weren't mad. He said he put porn in Kate Weinberg's bag, who's been on this show. And quote unquote, she wasn't mad. I'm like, I think she just was terrified and probably didn't say anything to you.
Well, I raped someone and they weren't mad.
Yeah. And so what's this bitch going on? You know, so
I've done even worse. Yeah. I put porn in a bag. You think that's offensive? I've jerked off in some woman's purse. She never said anything. Everything's been crusty for a week.
So he's out there, but I saw him at an open mic and I just looked at him and he walked past me with his head down because he's a fucking pussy.
Wow, you can't stare into those sexy eyes.
That's true.
Yeah, look away like you're fucking Medusa.
I was asking for it.
What how did you turn him down? You were just like...
With my tongue, like I just licked my lips until he got the gist.
With her sexy tongue.
Yeah, I took a banana and I started bleeding it. No, I saw him on the train. He came, he sat next to me and he said, do you want to go out with me? And I said, no. And he said, please. I looked at him like, oh my God. Because please is like, that's already so
pathetic.
Bizarre and weird. Like
it's bizarre.
Yeah, the balls to say.
How about a little one?
He's Kesha over here.
Yeah, yeah. He was definitely Kesha-ing me. And then he ended up getting off at the, I said, I could be your friend, which in retrospect, I shouldn't have. But I was trying to like lessen the blow. Because you're making me reject you multiple times now. And I said, well, I could be your friend. And he said, no, I don't want that.
Whoa.
And I'm like,
Whoa, so you're trying to be nice and he can't be nice. Unless I fuck you, I can't even talk to you.
Sure. And
So I'm going to try one more time. Please, though.
Wow.
Please.
Well, I mean, now that I said we can't be friends if we don't do this, now?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, I will take away my precious friendship that you weren't interested in at all. And then he sexually harassed another woman and she published his messages. Like he said really gross things to her, like, you know, you always talk about being horny but then you won't fuck me, like blah blah blah. So
by the way, to be clear, you're free to name names.
Her name's Rachel Coleman, which is, and she publicly spoke about it, and this guy's name is Julian Matheson, I believe is his name, but he goes by Vegan Jules. When he was talking to my friend about this whole situation, he goes, well, the only bad thing I did was to Rachel Coleman and everything else. It's like, well, you're admitting that you did a bad thing. And then you're admitting that you put porn in people's bags. You're admitting you put this in my, like, what, how can you think that any of this is okay? But
he wants to get past the not okay thing. Okay, I did that. Am I doing it now?
No.
Right. No.
How do you hit on somebody? How do guys do this? You hit on Andrea. She's clear. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In the saddest way. You go, please.
Please.
She says no. You try again. She says no. Now, all this happened. You're going to have to see her again. How don't you just kill yourself? How do you go through life not humiliated constantly.
I think you can be humiliated and let that be a lesson. Like, you can't say please. It was embarrassing. It happened at the moment. It's like, it's hard to ask someone out. You made the wrong choice. Like, that's your embarrassing, sure, asking out a person's story. But you be embarrassed and then get over the embarrassment and then start again fresh. Otherwise, like,
I mean, after you try, okay, I'm gonna put a rubber glove in her bag and see if she figures out it represents something.
Well, the please also, he denied the please, that he said the please, and I'm like, I remember it so well because it was so
cringy,
bizarre. Yeah, cringeworthy that he came back again. And yeah, he walks past me with his head down all the time now. And I'm like, yeah, because you're pathetic, because you are afraid of women and you're a fucking weirdo and you hate us. And there's all this terrible shit. He's building up this terrible hate reel in his mind.
And then do you fall for it a little bit? Because what happens to me is I have to keep reminding myself that this person is a shit, you know, because when I see their head down, like, blah, 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 I start falling for it. Like, oh, I'm supposed to be the bigger person. I have more, you know, I have a better social way of conducting myself. And like, I took the time. And then I'm like, no, Hamda, it's because you took the time. It's because you try to apologize when it's not, like, and I have to like run it in my head. Like, it's okay that you're not, you know, making this better for this person.
No, I don't feel bad for a second. Fuck you.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. I laugh.
No, really good.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Of course, good.
Good.
I even know how there's another way, but please, apparently Hamda has it.
Really? You never like for a second are like, ugh, it's so pathetic that it's like you feel like a bully for a minute. You know, for a minute, for like half the time, for some of it.
I'm thinking of one Pat Dixon specifically. Not for one second did I feel guilty or bad calling him out.
Because think about what they're thinking about you in their head, you know?
No, I know. And Pat Dixon is so extreme. That's extreme. But somebody else who's like, I don't know, this guy sounds like an asshole too. Why am I doing this?
Why, Hamda?
Fuck him.
Nope.
I'm just wondering if you never have to, Keith, remind yourself like, oh yeah.
I don't want
to
waste your time. Yeah. No. But you can finish the sentence if you want.
Well, because these examples are so extreme in a different.
Yeah, this is extreme.
In a different area where maybe I got in a fight with a friend or something and they said some fucked up shit. I said some fucked up shit. I think about what I said, blah, blah. This person is reasonable. Then, yeah, of course, I'm going to examine my side of it. But no. But this person, you're ridiculous.
Yeah, he's not even like admitting any of the stuff.
He's admitting the crazy shit, right, and being like, well, this, but.
Yeah, that's what's frustrating.
Her eyes did look sexy in my area, so.
Do you ever feel like you see this guy again, mm-hmm, and where nobody can hear him, you're like, hey, seriously, though, I do want to fuck you so bad. I can't, you know, I'm seeing somebody, but that would be fantastic to do. And then, of course, he's going to start telling people, and you go, well, of course, I never said that. That would be ridiculous.
You're crazy, Jules.
Right, and everybody would be like, well, of course, he's being weirder and weirder, and you just keep saying shit to him. So he tells other people. It's like, really, is that what I did? I invited him to move in. Mm-hmm. I did that. Mm-hmm. Okay. How come it didn't work out?
Only in person, and you know, right, I just say it, and then I just
move on. Yeah, uh-huh. I do that. Like, that's what I do. Okay, all right.
I like this idea.
Speaking of comedians, Eliza Schlesinger is a female comedian that you can tell Hamda doesn't care for too much, but I'll try to fill people in nonetheless. Hamda has seen her stand up on television, and it really irks you.
On Netflix, yeah, it really does, because I watch it, and I'm like, wow, I really hate you. Like, you're really... You're really saying some stuff that you and your audience is finding very enlightening and very funny, and you're setting back everybody, especially women, like really just women, a million years. She starts a lot of her jokes with, aren't women like this and aren't men like this? And it's always degrading to women, and it's stuff she's like, she always, it's like very old school what women are. Like, they're just, she even makes this sound for women, like, should I take this jacket? Should I take a jacket? It's like, no, you bitch, don't take the jacket, whatever. And I'm like, you're saying women are this and women are this, but you're also saying that you're not. So are you the only woman in your act that you've ever encountered that's not a whiny little bitch that sounds like this?
She's very smart, Hamda.
Yeah, that's interesting that all women are like that in your jokes except for you.
So I haven't seen the stand-up, obviously, the way Hamda describes
it. Also, sorry, no one in the comedy industry respects her. That's interesting. That's very, very interesting because when you
That's what you're learning now, you mean?
No, I've known this for a while. Nobody likes her. She has a huge attitude. She, like, no one wants to work with her that's a comic. Now, that doesn't stop her because she's such a huge comic with such a big following that other people will work with her. But people will not. Like, she's a terrible human in this community. And on top of that, when you're a terrible human in this community, but you still tell great jokes, people are still on your side. People are still like, hey, great jokes. Don't really like them, but whatever. No one's on her side because not only is she a terrible, awful human, but she's also a terrible joke teller, and she gets all this, you know.
It's so hack. It's crazy.
So her, it's garbage. So hack,
yeah. Like when comedians are talking about this, like the first thing you'll say, be like, oh, do you hear about Eliza Schlesinger? And everyone's like,
yeah, why are we hearing about Eliza Schlesinger? Yeah.
Fucking idiot with the cat suit, the special with the leather cat suit where she's trying to make some sort of weird comparison, like draw a comparison between her and fucking Eddie Murphy. I'm like, you're so terrible.
Was that on her special? I don't even remember.
Yeah, she had a special with like a red cat suit, and I think it was supposed to be like, I'm that. And I'm like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me.
Ugh.
I think I like it.
The balls.
What's she wearing in her other specials? Oh, now
she's slutty things. She's
that's fine.
She's like, super hot, but that's half. That's almost 90% of the reason why she's famous is because she is attractive.
Absolutely. I'll tell you this about her special. She performs really well. Like, so she memorizes and performs really well. So if it was different, honestly, I see her as like the female Dane Cook, except for real, I think Dane Cook is so much funnier.
Yeah.
Like by a lot. But by the time Dane Cook like was at the end of his career, his writing was also this much garbage. It's like, don't you want it? And then they act out some weird shit, and it's like, what are you acting out?
Don't you want a humor?
there's nothing behind their act out. It's just, oh, you like seeing me do this.
Exerting energy.
Yeah.
It's like the humping a stool, but like in different forms. Yeah. And yeah, it's terrible.
And she sells out arenas. It's madness.
All right. Well, I didn't know what was happening, and then I heard she's making news, and apparently she did an article for Deadspin, and it's on, you know, you can see it online, and then I'll tell you what's in this article that got people riled up. Then Deadspin puts out a follow-up being like, and comedians hated her for saying this, blah, blah. It's like, asshole, you're supposed to be on the same team. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't be like somebody came on our show, said something out of line, and then the next show, I go, guys, listen to how much you all hated her. Oh my goodness, fuck off. You're not a, you know what I mean?
It was the job of the person interviewing her when she said that to either clarify or move forward in that, or say, don't you think that women are going to think this way about you, or in general, the comedy community is this. But no, the interviewer asks their stupid question, then nods, then ask another, like, probably totally unrelated question because you're not doing your job. So don't the next day go, right? No, you didn't have that thought when you were interviewing. And it's one thing, like, you know, we have, you know, had a very difficult guest, and then the next day it was like, oh, that guest is very difficult. But it's not in this, like, I don't know how to explain it, in this, I knew it. It's like, no, we could see that you didn't know.
Right.
So if you didn't know, you can go, whoa, and the response was this, which I didn't expect. But now that people are telling me, I could see. It's that we can tell this interviewer is lying, like, oh, I'm on your side. Like, I was always on your side this whole time.
I've been exposing her with my questions.
Right. Yeah. You had what you thought was a nice interview where you got her talking shit. So don't act like something's happening.
A girl's too sexy, too young. Here's some pictures.
Yeah, you're always on the good side. Sure.
So I came across this, and I guess there's more to the article, but this is the meat of it, or what people are getting upset about. She says, when you're a woman in comedy and you get a break, people get so excited about it. But while we have to work hard to get that attention, I do think many women think, oh, if I just act like a guy, if I go for the low-hanging fruit, everything's about sex or how weird I am. It all just kind of runs together.
I don't understand what she thinks her jokes are about. Yeah. If it's not going to be about sex or how we're weird, I mean, what do you have left? Like, that's all we're talking about, is how we're weird in our own special, unique, non-unique way.
Yeah. Also, you're wearing a cat suit. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
she talks
about sex.
Constantly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I could walk into the improv, close my eyes, and I can't tell one girl's act apart from another.
this is so fucked up because A, when were you at the improv?
Yeah.
Like ever and listening to other people's jokes. And B, name three female comics right now that you're so upset with that blended together.
Yeah.
And if you can't name them, that's not the industry's fault. That's your fault. I could name 20.
That's not saying that 30-something white guys don't all sound the same sometimes. But I'm banging my head against the wall because women want to be treated as equals and we want feminism to be a thing. But it's really difficult when every woman makes the same point about her vagina over and over.
Does she know the irony of this?
Yeah.
Because her comedy's like that, you're saying?
No, because
well, that yes, too.
She's like, we want feminism, but girls have to work harder for it. What's the definition of feminist, Eliza?
Yeah.
That we shouldn't have to work harder for it and never get it, except for what? You and Amy? What, that's all?
This feels like kind of a dig on Amy a little bit.
You think this is because we don't tell enough jokes that two people are on top? What is wrong with you?
They make the same point about the vagina over and over.
What is that point? I want her to name the one point that we keep making about vaginas over and over again.
She's just saying shit.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I'm the only woman out there that has a joke about World War II in my set.
What kind of dumb thing is that to say?
She's obviously saying...
I'm the only one joking about Jews and killing them?
She's trying to be like, I'm so unique, guys. It's very pandery towards men. It's like, mm-hmm. I
feel you guys.
Yeah. I know we're all talking about the same stuff, but like, I write for everybody and I get it, guys. And I know that the women are just not really pulling their weight, but I am. It's like, fucking,
how could you be the only one writing good jokes? The only one, Eliza. The only fucking one writing.
Yeah, she's
like, hundreds of movies, there's YouTube, there's podcasts, there's stand-up every night in so many cities and around the world, but you're the only one not telling vagina jokes that are terrible.
I kind of hear this World War II joke.
Yeah.
I
heard it. I don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't remember any. I saw her first special and I was like, holy shit, this is terrible. I started watching the second one and I was like, I can't watch it because it's making me so upset because this person is so famous.
It's so upsetting.
And it's so bad.
And talk about sex. I don't know if it was her first one, but it was one of the first. I think it was the first one. The cover of her first album is her naked.
Yeah.
You're not talking about sex?
War paint she's naked on, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Mm. And I don't care. I think use your body. I think use whatever you want. But then don't turn around and go, oh, you're talking about your vagina. You're showing your vagina.
Yeah.
I don't want to be saying shit like this to a female comic. Do anything you want, but don't then go, I'm the only one doing good shit. You're a nightmare, Eliza. Nobody likes you.
Agreed. But there's generally a commentary about blue material. With comics, people say that it's easy and it's something that people gravitate to early in their career. The saying is, when you're new, you're blue. Which is meaning you're going to do jokes that are shocking or naturally funny already. Like, we're talking about dicks. Everyone thinks dicks are funny. It's easier.
Right, they're going to laugh from the uneasiness of us talking in a room openly about...
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
And what you're trying to say is these comics that grab your ass at open mics, they're just new to comedy.
Sure, exactly. They're trying a new bit, right?
It's new and blue.
It's physical comedy. And they're doing a bit with me that I just didn't know about. I'm not a good improver. I didn't yes and hard enough.
They're like, take a look. It's literally blue. Help me.
My balls are blue from you not putting out. So that's a general comment about comedians that I think people, but I'm very blue and I take the time to write dirty things that I think come from different crazy angles because I think being dirty is funny. I think Yamanika is one of the funniest female comics on the scene right now. She's filthy, but it doesn't matter your
material. Christy Cello, a Christian who goes to church, I think, every Sunday. Her shit is filthy.
Yeah. If you can write well, it doesn't matter if it's filthy or not. It doesn't mean you're lesser than.
Oh, all the guys talking on stage are not filthy. So yeah. Keith Malley in his last special said nothing about his sperm, dick, cock, whatever the fuck. Nothing. I can't even remember, but I bet you did. So all these guys are not talking about how they fuck people. They're not talking about their dicks. They're not talking about their hard-ons. They're not talking about fucking anybody. No. Yeah. They're only talking about what? World news?
Yeah.
Trump? Everyone's just talking about what?
Yeah, she.
I could be the only male comic out there right now talking about transgender. I've all bid on it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And that has nothing to do with sex, does it?
Well, I also think that the way that she's talking in the article is so directed towards pleasing men. She's such an eternal misogynist that it's crazy that she can't see it. She's got tunnel vision to it. She's like, these comedians write for everybody. And she names like Tina Fey or whatever. I'm sure these women are like, stop talking about mm-hmm. me. We're not the same. Mm-hmm. You are a fucking clown. You're a hot clown and you're going to burn out because you don't write good jokes. And that's it.
Or you're not going to burn out. But understand that hacks could not burn out also, because there's an audience for everything. And your suckiness has an audience. Congratulations, but don't let that fill your head with other things other than you're entertaining to those people. Can't you see that other women could be entertaining to other people?
Well, yeah.
What is wrong with you? You literally just said, I'm the only female who could entertain an audience.
That's insane.
How do you want people who are your colleagues to respond to that, you piece of shit? Not even scientists who actually break through and cure us go, I'm the only one trying to cure AIDS. Shut the fuck up. What award do you want for saying the word vagina differently than me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think shock value works well for women, but beyond that, there's no substance. I want to see what else there is with such complex, smart characters.
Name a guy that doesn't do the things that you blamed women for doing. I want her to name a male comic on the same level as other female comics that she's talking about. Who?
Yeah.
Lisa Traeger writes, Adeliza, I talk about my pussy and fucking, and I'm a better stand-up comedian than you will ever be. Save your money because you a hack.
True.
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 Annie Letterman, let's police women's speech in the name of feminism.
That's what I was saying.
Right.
Chelsea Peretti putting out a picture of Eliza in a skit dressed literally as a vagina. And Chelsea says, wait, is this the World War II joke?
These are women that are supposed to be on your side. And even women who are not on your side for what you said wouldn't come at you this hard if they weren't already pissed at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there would be women like, hey, this is really not usual. Like if I came out and said something terrible about women, I don't think that this response is what I would get. I think I would right. get, Chemna, this is so
like
not.
What's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
the fuck? No, they're waiting at the gates.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's.
I'm a better comic than you'll ever be would not be what Tina Fey would get.
Of course.
Maybe, but not, but you know what I mean? Not, like this
well,
level
it's,
is.
It's indicative. It's symptomatic of what people really think about her. And now she's finally said some really damning shit. And now it's open, you know,
yeah,
say whatever you want. Yeah.
So things, she probably starts trying to defend this point and she doesn't realize she's a horrible person all around
yeah.
and is not liked. And that's, it's got to be confusing, right? Because what person is going to wake up without a great therapist like Katy Perry has and go, whoa, this is, obviously this has been, people are not liking what I'm up to.
Yeah, and maybe I'm wrong in explaining like how much shit, like because everybody does get shit when they say something out of line, but no one's going, hey, you know, I'm a comic and I know Eliza doesn't mean, not one comic is right. on your side. Even like when the male comics who blow up and say like the most fucked up things, like your Kurt Metzgers and, mm-hmm. you know, like people are like, hey, Kurt is just talking. Like there are people who are on his side, you know?
Right. Well, it's when we talked and to me, this is more than any goofy comedian's opinion. But when you have a sexual predator like Pat Dixon, and I would say right now, you can go to keithandthegirl.com/Pat and see these episodes where we explain things. Not one comedian, after what is now years, not one has came to us and said, this is not the Pat we know. You are out of line because this couldn't have happened. He could not have grabbed somebody and dry humped them. He could not. There's no way that.
No, instead, only a couple of people were like, hey, let's give him another shot. That's different.
Yeah. And also
I don't really
implying,
need to.
He's already done a bunch of fucked up stuff.
Yeah.
So one more time, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Can't we start over? And I'm like, yeah, we can start over when he admits that this happened and says sorry. Right. And like, you know, I mean, nothing happened yeah. to him. It's fine.
I like to think it did, but okay.
I'd like to think that people can now speak more openly about what
Well,
happens.
Sure. That's yeah. why I called out that one creep, because the reason why I actually did it was because someone messaged me that he followed a friend of mine home and tried to give her a hug and like lingered near her door. And I was like, all right, that's enough. I've heard two different stories. I bet you there's like 10 or 20 more. And of course I hear about the porn in the bag directly from him. I'm like, where does it end with you? Of course it does. So I'll say something and it'll just fucking blow up.
And yeah, and that's the thing that I think people don't realize is once you hear something out of someone's face who has to keep working with people, I would imagine it's like that's not the first thing that happened.
When there's
smoke,
there's fire.
She was asked, while you poke fun at the silliness of hashtags and social media in Confirmed Kills, the name of a special, you also employ hashtags throughout the episode. What is the thinking behind that? So I guess she's making fun of social media, but then what? Literally a hashtag comes up while you're watching stand-up?
Or did she say it?
No. So in the first one, she said hashtag party goblin. I believe that was the first one.
Okay, and that was like, that's a good one.
I mean, it made more sense. And then the hashtag came up on the screen and like people lost it. And then party goblin became a thing, and she throughout that special kept putting hashtags in. So she'd say a joke, and then at the end she'd say hashtag whatever, or it'll just say hashtag on the screen.
Okay. Is she surprised it didn't catch on?
It did catch on with her audience, not with like
no with any other comedian. It's just interesting that didn't catch on.
Here's the thing, I wanted not to be mad at her for that, because I think that like the PR moves that we all make are bullshit, and they're all like, we're all, you know, everything on Instagram that we post is, you know, maybe we wouldn't be post. I know we wouldn't be posting that much, but that's part of like, hey, we're sharing this information with you. This is the way that we interact now. So she is trying to take that to the next level. And I feel like it looked thirsty, and that's too much, you know, like it's not the right thing to do, because you're trying to entertain and you're pushing this other agenda that's way too clear and in your face. But at the same time, I'm like, that is somewhere where the future is. I think her audience responds well to that. Then they interact on social media. I don't blame her. I get that it's dumb, but I don't blame her. Everything is done.
You
want to use hashtags, use hashtags. It's stupid. Then the second special that I saw with the hashtags, I'm like, oh, you're catering all your jokes to hash it at the end. And now her hashtags were so irrelevant. The first one at least had like some iota of merit, even though you could see right through her bullshit, like, oh, we're just having fun. No, you're promoting your shit while we're watching it. I get it. But the second one just seemed like she created hashtags first and then tried to write around it. And it was it's too much.
Do you think she even write? I would be shocked if she wrote. I would assume she has writers, right?
Oh my God. Please tell me that she wrote that, because multiple writers wrote that. I do think that she must have like one or two like punch ups or something.
Yeah.
Because But it's so bad. They're not jokes. It's so bad.
It's crazy bad.
Yeah.
But maybe they know that's the lowest common denominator and it'll be fine. It'll pass.
Well, I think that
she'll
look
hot and dance around and talk about World War II, hashtag World War II, and God, everyone will just eat it up.
I hope that's not true, that I'm going to be jerking off to this special. She starts bringing up World War II.
Yeah, what a fucking boner killer.
It's not ironic at all, she says about these hashtags. People like to interact with what they're watching, whether it's letting the show know that you're a fan, whether it's giving an opinion, whether it's participating. I think that's a key part of integrating yourself with your audience. And it was born out of the idea that Netflix doesn't give out their numbers. You know you have a great special because your ticket sales go up and because Netflix invites you to events. I just performed at their 100 millionth download event at the Shrine, but you'll never get the numbers out of them.
I think this is a good point.
So I built in these hashtags for a couple of reasons. The main one being so I could informally track the viewership.
You think she did this or someone else did it for her, and she's acting like, I built in this.
I think she's acting like this gave her some kind of research, and I think it's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it sounds like there's lies in it.
Oh,
like,
I got a tweet here, 4 a.m., I want to fuck you lies. All right, so I'm going to add that to the list of fans. Okay, and then as the days go on, I'll keep in mind.
I don't know if Netflix gives you the numbers or not. I think if you're Eliza, you can ask for the numbers or you won't put it on Netflix. You know, I think that there's a lot of power in where her position is, where she has and will say things like, oh, we're not allowed to do this, but I'm going to anyway because I'm Eliza. I think that's her. So when you tell me that Netflix isn't doing something for you, I think you're lying. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that happened with your first special, and now you're a person who could say, give me the downloads. And if it's not the case, then maybe that's a good point, and that's fine. I think like promoting your shit, even in corny ways, is fine. But you're being disingenuous and we can feel it.
But she's talking about this like she's some marketing genius. Right. Like, I invented this. Did you?
And that's what I'm saying. You invented it, but this isn't just one special. You invented it and it didn't catch on. It's not catching on for a reason. Calm down.
I have a book of hashtags at the end of all my stand-ups, so, you know, I can flip to it and refer, see which hashtag works best with my new bit.
I'm kind of known for having these fans that take these hashtags and they materialize into costumes, into jewelry, into hats and t-shirts, and they come to my shows dressed up. The hashtags have been instrumental in my connection with my fans. So Dane Cook had MySpace, and she has hashtags. That's all.
Yeah, well, the weird part
is voices of generations.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking to a famous person about being famous. So no matter what, you're going to come off weird. Hey, is it weird to have fans that use hashtag? Like, I hate saying the word fans, so I say listeners. You know what I mean? Like, it is a weird place to navigate. But she's so coming from a place where she clearly thinks she's better than everybody that it's hard to be on her side, even though this should have been a nothing thing, those hashtags. Let her do hashtags. Let her do a whole show with hashtags.
Sure, I'm not watching her. It's not something I care about.
Yeah, and then you look up the hashtags and people are integrating them. They are doing it. So I say, good for you. That's the way that you run things, and that's the way you keep in touch with your fans. But it's the rest of the interview shows you so strongly that we can see through this hashtag bullshit as well.
Well, people are not pleased, and so they rate her, as I read some to you. And so she wrote, hey, sorry I had the balls to point out the obvious. Sorry that those of you smart enough to rate better jokes don't just read this and laugh. Now, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I feel like she's said, I don't know 100%, but I feel like she's saying that smart people think she's right, so they just carry on their way and don't, you know.
Yeah,
these are just dummies who are self-conscious about how great she is. Yes, the whole internet is just, you're the best, and I, you know, I got to take you down. This is like, this is like perfect, like hot girl bully mentality. Like whenever you get a pushback, it's like in Mean Girls, like, well, everyone just hates me because I'm so beautiful and I'm well liked. Like, I'm sorry that I'm so, it's like, really, maybe you could conceive that it's more than that.
If you think about it for longer than a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eliza says, I hate feminists who tell me that I'm not doing enough as a feminist. You're right. Tweeting from your toilet is really helping us out. Send.
That was helpful too, Eliza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you taking the best shit because you do it the best and nobody else does it as good as you?
Now, on the 16th, she wrote on Facebook, I guess took a, had all these posts, little back and forth. It's not going her direction. She deletes everybody.
Yeah.
Her, everybody. Then leaves one final thing that we can all take and suck on. I have spent the last 12 hours defending a point of view in my Deadline article that I've expressed in multiple other interviews as well, because I believe it. My goal wasn't to offend women. Why would I want to hurt the gender I fight for?
Because you hate us and yourself.
My goal was to express what I see every night over the past decade in this job in the hope that some women would look beyond the easy jokes to succeed.
You're doubling down on this garbage. You're saying, yes, I said it and I meant it and here it is again.
We've all done it. Men do it too. But I want to implore women to be better because we have to be because our road is harder.
Well, this is so rude. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's so rude. It's fucking crazy.
I stand for women. I employ women.
Oh, thanks.
Hashtag fuck off.
When I'm in a car, I let them cross the street. I stand for women, I employ women, and I work so that women feel included. My work speaks for itself. I won't be addressing this any further, although some tweets did come out after.
Oh my God, can everyone tweet that me and Andrea are funnier female comics than Eliza and tag both of us? I'm sure. Into it. Tag her. I don't give a shit.
I have erased all of your comments and my, in parentheses, awesome responses because I realized...
Oh my God, she said an asshole!
Because I realized that nothing good ever gets accomplished in Twitter subthreads. No one has ever been like, you're right, I don't like Trump. Thanks for convincing me on Twitter. Anyway, I'm done here. Enjoy your life.
What was this platform?
I don't know, but it has 372 likes. So that means her audience is 372.
Right.
And you don't have to wonder what Netflix is up to.
You just multiply that and cross-reference by some number that she makes up.
Right. Easy breezy.
It's so funny because she says, you can't tell the numbers. You can see that your ticket sales goes up and you're invited to things. But that's the same as hashtags. You can see that people are interacting with hashtags the same way that you could see that you still don't know your numbers.
Right.
It's the same numbers as how many people bought tickets to your thing.
Well, that's just so, look, you had a joke about hashtags. And then you thought about totally unrelated. Oh, I'll put hashtags up. Hashtag is a thing. Then somebody asked, is it ironic what you're doing? And you're making up an excuse. Like I said, we got another like just came in. How's the spreadsheet looking? Oh, it keeps adding up, right? That's good. So should I do another special with Netflix? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Right. She's got no numbers in Netflix, and this is like her third one.
Right.
But keep going. Bullshit. You're right.
It just shows how out of touch she is with what's actually going on. I'm sure she's not in these clubs or whatever, because in New York specifically, the women are working harder. It's harder for us to be there. They are trying to write more. Like, it's just, we feel as if we have to fight to be here, and we do have to fight. We have to fight with fucking creeps all the time just to be able to go to a mic, and we have to fight.
Well, Andrea, if you said something funny, then you wouldn't have to fight.
Sure, yeah. I'm sure that's how it works.
You should fight to be funnier, because you do have to be better than men to make it. So why don't you just do that? That's feminism.
Right? I should just do that every fucking night as I am. But I do think that women try harder. They are more professional. They bust ass. That's something I know across the board. Every female comic knows that to be true in the scene right now. And I'm in the fucking, you know, trenches. You're not here. You don't exist in this world. You're out there hashtagging and being a fucking monkey in a leather suit. Like, you're not.
Yeah, you get picked up by limousines you go somewhere. Like, by, you know what I mean? Limousines. Whatever it is. It's such an old reference.
Yeah.
You get a limo. But, you know, you get a driver. You get, you know, you get. When you're not going to open mics, you're dropping in, and people are laughing at anything you say.
Yeah.
At least other comics are like, hey, when you get more famous, it is hard to work things out because people are more ready to write. So you will have to change yourself to do that. And I get that that's difficult, but it's not, you're so much better than other females and everyone's just jealous.
I think she also came up in Los Angeles, I believe. So it's not like there, it's a just, to say women across the board, you didn't come up in New York. You don't, you know, you just.
How many women? Name them.
Yeah.
Well, here's what we're saying. Andrea is in the trenches.
I'm in the trenches, Eliza.
So happy Memorial Day to you.
Thank you.
And you do want to follow Andrea on Twitter. The Twitter account is?
Hashtag go fuck yourself. At Andrea Comedy.
Andrea Comedy. And of course, you'll see all the different shows that she's been on. Obviously, you hear her on Keith and the Girl, but What's Up, A, you definitely want to check out. It's in your VIP program. Also, the Hot Mess Comedy Hour is fantastic with you and Emily.
Thank you so much. I was just recently on it. They made me cry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
And the 10-Minute Mess is also in your VIP while you're in there.
I'm all over this fucking network.
You really are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bonus, right? You do the Hot Mess Comedy Hour, then you have a 10-Minute Mess video bonus that people can see in the VIP also. And it gets, if I may be so bold, GD ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
get ridiculous.
I filleted a snowman.
Sure.
Costume. I took a shot of heavy cream. This is within the last 2 months.
She would like to be clear that it was a snowman costume, not an actual snowman.
I did not bring the man into the studio.
Andrea, thank you.
Don't forget, get Keith's album right now, keithandthegirl.com/album. Please don't wait. Today is the day. It is absolutely important. Please go to keithandthegirl.com/album. We really appreciate it. #really appreciate it.
keithandthegirl.com.